Proverbs 5 and verse number 3, all right? Here we go. The Bible says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O you children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thy honor unto the others, thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, I thank you for these guys, Lord. I thank you for bringing them here to your house today, Lord. Please help as we get into this study once again, Lord. Please help us to pay attention to it on purpose. Help us to care about it. And Lord, help us to see the needs in our lives, where we need to shore up things, where we need to guard ourselves, where we need to be making wiser choices, Lord. I pray you please help us with that. Lord, I can't help these guys in and of myself, but I know that you can, and I pray that you would through me, Lord. Please give me your help. Give me the right words and thoughts and spirit. Help these young men, Lord. Give them something from this. This is a very dangerous area that we're dealing with, and God, a lot of guys have fallen, and sadly, many, many more will in the future, but God, we don't want that to be us. We pray you would please help us to listen to what you have to say, to take it seriously, to implement it into our lives, Lord. And I pray you would use this message in a great way. Help us to hear your voice. Make us more like you. Please, Lord. We love you. We need your help. We need your touch, Lord. Without you, all that we do is a waste. But God, you said that with you, we can do all things, Lord. So we pray you give us your help. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, guys. Thank you for standing. So here we are back in Proverbs 5, guys. And just to reset just for a moment, Solomon is the wisest man in the Bible, right? And we talked about last week, this wasn't just he was smarter than most of his classmates. He got better grades, you know, and those kind of things. That's not what it's talking about. This wisdom was given to him from God. God said, what do you want? And he had just the whole, everything was on the table for him. He could have asked anything that he wanted. He said, I want wisdom. And God gave him that wisdom. And it was proven throughout his life that God had blessed him in a great way, giving him wisdom. So the wisest man in the Bible is writing a book of wisdom to his son. His son's name is Rehoboam, and he's given this whole book to his son. Can you imagine that, by the way, that on the receiving end of that, your dad cares enough about you to write a book? I mean, that's crazy. But this book is not just written from Solomon, a human. This ultimately comes from God, our Heavenly Father, to us. It's written to young men. It's dealing with wisdom. It encounters a lot of different situations and scenarios. And guys, the book of Proverbs will help you. And I love this chapter. It provides a wealth of wisdom and information here in this chapter, guys, in a very critical and needed area. You say, why do you say that, Brother Tom? Because a lot of guys fall to this. A lot of guys fall to the wrong type of woman. They get off track. They get pulled into something. But man, she's so pretty. She's so attractive. And I like being with her. But it's not something that God wants you to have. And it pulls you away. And after a while, that guy doesn't serve God anymore. He doesn't give out tracts anymore. He doesn't care about standing for God anymore. And eventually, he doesn't even come to church anymore. And you know what you can trace it back to a lot of times? The wrong kind of woman. So Proverbs 5 is dealing with your purity. We talked about last week in public schools, they have sex education, should be called sin education. Right. We are to stay pure in our lives. Let me stop and say this, guys. Listen, this whole study we're going to do and try to help you with, listen, it won't do you any good until you make a commitment to stay pure. Mm-hmm. You should have made that already, but if you haven't, I challenge you to do that now, to say, Lord, I'm going to stay clean and pure and not mess around with a woman until I get married, and then that's only reserved for my wife, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Guys, you need to make that commitment, because you know what, George and Dylan and all you guys, I can give you a lot of facts and a lot of truth, and you say, yeah, that's interesting, but if you're not committed to it, it won't help you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not beating anybody up, I'm just telling you. There has to be a commitment level. There has to be, you know what? I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give my all. With God's help, I'm not going to fall to this. I'm going to strive to live right, to be clean, to be pure. You know why? Because it's a dirty world, guys. It's a filthy world. It's nasty. It's vile. Everywhere you look, as I said, it's on the TV. It's on the internet. It's on the music. It's everywhere. It's shoved in your face. Guys, you know what? So much so that that becomes what's normal. Guys, I mean, I could spend time dealing with all this and I don't want to, but everywhere you look, they just expect a young man to have a nasty, filthy mind. Yeah. Can I tell you, that should not be the case in your mind and in my mind. It's not okay. It's not normal. It's not, oh, boys will be boys. No. That's sin. It's sin. I don't care if it's an older guy or a younger guy. They talk about dirty old men. Yeah, there's some dirty young men too if we tell the truth today. Yeah. So listen, you know, by the way, you know how you become a dirty old man? By becoming a dirty young man.
Right.
Starting there, and then you just keep growing through it.
Right.
Guys, it's patterns of thought that you have in your mind. You allow something. You think, whoa, I shouldn't have thought that. But you allow it. You allow it. You allow it. And it goes farther and farther and farther. Before long, that's just who you are. That's just how you are. That's just been so ingrained in your thinking. God forbid that that happens with us. Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. You say, but Tom, I struggle sometimes. Yeah, all of us do. But you know what you got to do, guys? Fight back with the word of God. And what do we say? Our weaponry, our armament, our weapons, it's not physical stuff. I'm not going to, when we walk out of class today, I'm not going to be like, all right, Kevin, can you get out and give out the stuff? He's like, the stuff? The stuff. You know what I'm talking about. When you walk out and we give you this shield to protect yourself, and we give you some helmet. All right, you wear this every day now. When you go to bed, you wear it. But it's uncomfortable. I say wear it, you know. And we get really intense about it. When you go to school in the fall, you wear it. All right, when you're at home watching TV, make sure you're wearing your Christian helmet. Guys, it's not physical armor we're giving you. But you know what we are giving you? We're giving you mental armor. This is weapons that you can help. When we're going through this chapter and explaining it to you, you know what it is? It's stuff that you need to lock in your mind that when, George, the temptation comes your way, you say, no, that's not true because I know what the Bible says. And you've planted that. You've installed that in your brain. And that's something that you can fight against the temptations of this wicked world. It's not going to be easy, guys, but this is the stuff to help you win, okay? So you have to have that commitment, and then we can equip you with the truth. Hey, guys, if a soldier is not committed to fighting for his country, then, Kevin, I can give him all the latest weaponry. I can give him the best helmet that's been designed to protect him and take care of him and all this kind of stuff. But if he's not committed to it, it's not going to help him because he doesn't care.
Right.
Okay? So you have to have that commitment, then we can equip you. And, guys, we're dealing with Purity Education 101. First one we dealt with last week, the first point, is the real story. The real story comes from verses 3 and 4 specifically. Look at this, guys. This is important. This is your life. This is your life, all right? That's why you need to listen, because this is your life we're talking about. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." The first three words of verse 4 are very key, though. "But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." You know what it's saying, guys? It's saying, and I'll deal with these more in detail in a few moments, but you know what it's saying? She looks so alluring. She looks so attractive. She looks so appealing. And you think, man, this looks amazing. This looks awesome. I want this. But you know what verse 4 says? "But her end." You know what it's talking about? The end result. Where does it lead to? I mean, guys, the stuff that's shoved at our face on the internet and in the TV and in the music and all this stuff, every avenue we're bombarded with it, all this stuff that's shoved at us, where does it lead to? It leads to the end is bitter as wormwood. I've seen guys with their hearts broken, that their lives are in tatters. They're torn apart. Why? Because they messed with that wicked woman, and it's sharp as a two-edged sword. She'll cut you deep. She'll cut you deep. Guys, that's the real story. It's not what the world throws at you. It's what God's word tells us. Mm-hmm. The real story. And we talked about these last week. The relationship affirmed. He said, "My son." Then he said, "Attend to my wisdom." Required attendance. Guys, when you come in here today, are you not just here physically, but are you here mentally? Your body can be in this room right now, and your mind can be 1,000 miles away, thinking about everything else but the truth that God's given to you from his word.
Right.
He's saying, attend to my wisdom. He's saying, be here mentally. Hey, guys, are you here mentally right now? Are you locked in? I hope so. And then he says, bow down thine ear to my understanding. We talked about that's removed arrogance. Guys, you can't think, oh, I'm doing fine. I don't need to try any harder. I don't need to get any stronger. I don't need to fortify myself. I'm just fine. I'm probably better than most guys in the room. If you have that arrogance and that pride in your heart, mark it down. You will go down. The Bible says, Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall.
Yeah.
It says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Bible says God resists the proud. He pushes against the proud. And guys, if you have that attitude, then verse number 4, you'll have the resulting achievement, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. Guys, if you're humble, if you're locked in, if you're really hungering and desiring for this, you know what? You're going to get some good from it. You're going to get some benefit, some profit from it in the form of discretion. Discretion is like discernment, knowing what right and wrong is. And it's also being cautious and careful. It's having that wisdom. And then you'll get some knowledge from it, that your lips may keep knowledge. Hey guys, it would be a shame to come in church every week, year after year after year, and then it never translates into your life. It never shows up in how you talk. It never shows up in how you think. It never shows up in how you live at all. Guys, that's a problem. That should not be the case. That is probably because you're not taking the truth that you're learning and using it. Guys, the stuff that we're learning today here right now in class, it should affect me when I leave here today. It should affect me, Kevin, when I go home today, turn on the TV.
Right.
It should affect what I view as acceptable and unacceptable.
Right.
Guys, it should affect the music that I listen to, the friends that I hang out with, the girls that I talk to, which is especially what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
It should affect these things. You'll get something from it if you have this right kind of attitude. Guys, do you have that kind of attitude entering this study today? Are you locked in? And are you humble? Say, man, I need this. Hey, guys, you know why you need to say you need this and I need this? Listen. Because you can fall to this temptation and so can I.
Mm-hmm.
So none of us have arrived. We haven't reached super Christian status and we can no longer fall and we're invincible and we can stand out there like Superman and have the bullets just bounce off of us. The temptation, here comes one. That's not how we are. Listen, you put yourself out there, you're going to fall. You leave yourself vulnerable, you will go down. So it's not something to play around with, the real story. Now, guys, let's get into verse number 3. I call verse number 3 the romantic appeal. It says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, her mouth is smoother than oil. When it's talking about a strange woman, guys, it's talking about the adulterous woman, that seductive woman. And it's talking about her lips. It says her lips are, they drop as a honeycomb. Honey, guys, very sweet, right? In that day and age, that was like the sweetest thing that they had was honey. And then it says her mouth is smoother than oil. So not only is she sweet, but also she's smooth. Guys, she has a beautiful entrance. She's sweet. She's smooth. She has these things. And you say, I was wondering about this as I'm reading through the verse. It's talking about her lips and her mouth. You know, let's be honest. That's not usually the most attractive part of a woman that we're talking about, right? Man, you see that girl's mouth? You know, usually when we're talking about their mouth, we're like, yeah, it's sure moving a lot. You know what I'm saying? Can I get a witness, all right? But yeah, that's usually what we're referring to. But you know what I think it's really dealing with, guys? Get this. Flattery. She uses her mouth to flatter a guy. And the flattering adoration. Hey, guys. Way a woman talks can really be powerful on a young man.
Yeah.
Can be. If she says about you that you're really good at a certain thing, boy, that gets your attention, right? I mean, you know, some bozo next to you be like, man, you did a great job. You're like, yeah, whatever. The girl says, you were so great out there. You're like, yeah, I was. You know, yeah. Tell me again, you know? And it gets your attention, the flattering adoration. Hey guys, that can get your attention. Hey, be on guard. I'm telling you, sometimes you say, well, maybe it was just my friend, or maybe it was just, you know, a good girl, a nice girl that complimented me. Okay, all right, fine. But you be careful, because some of them wicked girls know how to use that flattery too.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you're so great, and you're thinking, phew, you think so? I mean, you really think so? I mean, tell me more, you know? Guys, that can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
The lips of a strange woman, they drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So it's the flattering adoration. Can I tell you also about this beautiful entrance, though? Not only is it what she says, the flattery, and say, man, you are really good at this. Man, I'm just so amazed that you can do it this way. But not just the flattering adoration, guys. I'm going to just flip over to the chapter 7 real quick, verse number 10. This is another chapter that deals with it. Maybe one day we'll dive into this one too. But it says, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. Guys, a harlot is referring to a prostitute. And this verse says that there's a certain type of clothing that fits with that type of lifestyle. Did anybody just hear what I just said?
Yeah.
So this is why modesty is a big deal. It doesn't mean that we put a bag over our women and you can't look nice, you can't look attractive. That's not what we're talking about, guys. But it can cross the line to where it's not just being attractive or trying to look nice. It's trying to look seductive and goes way past where it should. That's a problem.
Yeah.
This verse says that a woman met him with the attire of a harlot. Kevin, by the way she was dressed, this guy knew what she did for a living.
Right.
Guys, let me be real, and this may sound a little rough, but the way people dress nowadays, it seems like this is hard to say it in an easy way, in a smooth way, but the way they dress, it seems like they are prostitutes when they're really not. And I'm not trying to be nasty and slap people around. But that style of dressing is very popular nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, not trying to be all graphic, but guys, girls showing off everything and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Hello, this is not okay. All right, but that's the day and age that we live in. So what are we supposed to do? Just give in to it and say, well, they're showing it all off, so I guess I'll look at it. I guess I'll just be a pervert in my mind. No.
Right.
You need to look away from it. You need to guard your mind, guard your heart. So the flattering adoration and also the flashy appearance. Hey guys, be careful with this. Listen, as I said last week and referred to it a little bit, you can't be looking at that stuff and keep a clean mind. Hey, when the girl walks by, what is your head doing? What are your eyes doing? Guys, I work and I'm driving around all the time, and guys, you know, sometimes you see a young lady not dressed right, and I'm already trying to avoid that, but then you see some of the other guys' reactions to that. Dudes about break their neck so they can stare somebody down. I mean, you've seen it. I've seen it too. I mean, dudes over here, you're like, dude, are you going to get whiplash? Like, you're going to break your neck. Dude. Guys, that's, I know we're laughing at that, though. That's awful. Yeah. That's awful. I remember years back, I was standing in Walmart line, which is something I hate to do because they take forever, you know? Person with like 8 billion things on the belt, and you're just like, I'm never getting out of here. I'm going to be out of here in like 10 years, you know, at this rate. Guys, I was standing behind this guy. His wife and his little son were right in front of me. Guys, his wife and his little son was in the cart, okay, right in front of me. This lady walks by. This guy was trailing her the whole way with his eyes. Kevin, I'm thinking, guys, let me just say, this is never okay whether your wife is around or not.
Yeah.
But how much of a pig do you have to be to stare a woman down that's not your wife when your woman that is your wife is standing right next to you?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And your son. I'm sure you're going to teach him to be a real godly man one day. Guys, that's garbage.
And
we don't want you to be like that. And I don't want to be like that in my life. Listen, guys, and by the way, let me reiterate that. It's not okay when no one's around.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen, nobody can be around. I'm not married yet, or my family's not around, or no church people are around. Well, if your eyes are bugging out, you're still sinning.
Right.
It's not okay. Matthew 5:28, you ought to check that out when you get a chance, all right? But listen, Bible talks about we shouldn't lust after women. Listen, guys, we've got to keep our minds straight. So she comes with this beautiful appearance. The flattery, the flashy appearance. 1 Timothy 2:9 talks about that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. Again, that doesn't mean they have to wear a trash bag over them or they look, you know, awful or something that's off-turning. No. They can look nice, they can look proper, and they can look pleasant. But guys, it should not cross the line. And I think we know what that's referring to. I don't think I have to get in detail with that, okay? And then guys, also let me mention this one and then I'll move on about her beautiful appearance and the romantic appeal. Can I tell you, there are some girls too, guys, this is stuff you need to avoid. This is why I'm telling you this, okay? Sometimes they can also have a flirtatious attachment. What I mean by that is this. If girls are already flattering you, they're being very flashy with how they
present themselves. Guys, you know what? I've seen some girls do from time to time. They're very touchy. Mm. They want to see you. Oh, Kevin, it's so good to see you.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, that's what you do. Yeah. You think I'm joking. Listen, we all have to do that sometimes. And they're like, oh, okay. Thanks. Have a good day. All right. That's keeping yourself out of trouble. But guys, can I tell you, not just that, when they greet you, hello, good to see you, but also, man, you know, I'm telling you guys, the devil is using this stuff. Because you'll tell a joke and what will they do? Oh, you're so funny, and they kind of touch you.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm telling you, that stuff needs to be like, hey, let's not do that.
I'm not doing anything, we don't have to be weird.
No, let's just not do that. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest to you, you get away from her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, listen, you say, oh, is that really a big deal? Well, I've seen it turn into a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a girl that will do that, guys, usually that's in a public setting, right? That's usually setting in church. Oh, you're so funny. That's what I want to do. You know? That's what we should be about. You know, like, you want to be touchy-feely? No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. That's not okay either, all right? But listen. But they want to do all that kind of stuff. That's somebody you need to avoid. As I was getting to, they're going to do that in a public setting. So what happens when you're alone with them? Which you shouldn't be.
Right.
But I mean, if they feel so bold to do that when everybody's around,
yeah.
when pastor's 3 feet over there and Miss Christina's 10 feet over there, and what happens when no one's around, guys? Are we dumb here?
Yeah.
You think she's not going to take it further? I think she will. Hey, guys. And that can happen even at a place like this. So what do we got to do? We've got to be careful. Okay? So they'll flatter you. They'll be flashy in their appearance. And then they'll have that flirtation with just, you know, every once in a while, these little mannerisms where they touch you, little things like this. But it's not okay. Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman.
Amen.
And you can flip that around. It's not okay for a girl to be touching a guy. Okay? So we just need to be straight on that. The beautiful entrance. Guys, you know what this is saying? This is saying it's going to get hard sometimes. Listen, you say, you're teaching me wisdom. Yes. But you know what? Wisdom is supposed to be used. It's supposed to be implemented into your life. You're supposed to act on it. Guys, can I tell you why you need to learn this stuff? It's because it's going to be tested. Verse number 3 is not one of them verses where it's like, oh yeah, I'm just learning something. Verse number 3 is like you're under attack. Okay? They're coming after you. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. She's appealing to you. She's trying to come after you. She's trying to tempt you. Guys, that's when it gets hard. But then we read in verse number 4 these words. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Guys, again, hey. You say, Brother Tom, I don't know about you, though, but when a girl flatters me, I like that. And when they're, even when they're dressed immodestly, there's a part of me, I'm not saying this is okay, I'm not, listen to me now, but there's a part of me that kind of, that appeals to me, right? That's the flesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when they do the little flirtation, touch and thing, I kind of like that. What am I supposed to do? Hey guys, you've got to have the truth locked and loaded in your mind, which is verse number 4. Where does that lead to? It's not going to stop there.
Yeah.
It's going to lead to something that you don't want. That's why you got to have the truth locked and loaded in your mind. You got to have your weapons ready to go. The reaping of anguish. Guys, it says that in verse number 3, what are the two characteristics about this adulterous woman in verse number 3? You remember? Talked about the honeycomb and something else, the oil, but what are the two ideas from it? You're like, you lost me. All right? Sweet and smooth, right? What does it turn out to be in verse number 4?
The envy.
Huh?
The envy.
Yeah.
Bitter.
And sharp. Hey guys, can I tell you total opposites?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet and smooth. Bitter and sharp. Total opposite. What you thought you were getting, you aren't getting. The real deal is not what she was presenting at the beginning. It's the exact opposite. Guys, listen. You say, all right, listen, I hope that this isn't the case, but there could be a guy in this room right now say, yeah. You can throw all that stuff at me and we can talk about it. Yeah. But I'm not going to buy it. I'm just going to fall into my lust. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Can I tell you the obvious it'll become obvious over time when it says butt her in. That's the end result. And that doesn't mean that it'll come the next day or even the next week or even the next month. But can I mark it? You can mark it down in your mind like the Bible says, your sin will find you out. Yeah. And when those pleasures of sin are over, the consequences of sin show up and they last a whole lot longer than the pleasure does. But her end. And then it's the exact opposite. It started out looking sweet and smooth. What does it turn out to be? Sour and sharp. Not what I figured. You ever put something in your mouth and you're expecting one flavor and it turns out to be something totally different? And you're like, wow, what is that? That's not what I want. You ever, I don't suggest doing this, but you ever accidentally grab somebody else's drink and you're expecting what you were just drinking and you're like, dude, what? Why do you drink this, by the way? But this is terrible. Like, it catches you off guard, right? Can I tell you that's what's going to happen in these scenarios? You go after something that looks sweet, it looks smooth, it looks like it's going to be so amazing, cause you joy and happiness. What does it turn out to be, though? The exact opposite. And guys, let's break down into these a little bit. When it's talking about bitter, bitter as wormwood. Again, that's the most sour and bitter thing that there was. Guys, you go get this. You go after, you bite into something in the imagery here. You bite into something that's supposed to be sweet. And it's rotten. It's sour. It's nasty. It's putrefied. That's what you get. Guys, that's what you get. That's why we're telling you, when the billboard has some immodest dressed woman, don't look. Why? Because this is what it leads to. It leads to bitterness. I've seen guys go after a woman and say, you know what? I would rather have her than be right with God. Where does it end? It ends in divorce court. It ends in child support. It ends in your life ripped and ruined. Can I tell you, that's bitter. That's bitter. I've talked to the guys and their heart is broken. Can I tell you that's bitter? It's not what they thought they were getting. Her end is bitter as wormwood. Also, wormwood is not only bitter. Some things I've read and looked up, it can also refer sometimes to poison. Wow. So her end is bitter as wormwood. That word bitter, it means to be broken, to be beaten, to be bitter, to have this nasty thing. You ever heard the phrase, that's a bitter pill to swallow? Or something that really bothers you or hurts you from the inside out? That's referred to as bitter. Guys, you don't want that. Listen, you say, well, why are you teaching this to us? Because guys, I don't want this to be your life in 5, 10, 15 years from now. Do you?
It's good.
So it's about the choices you make now.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's about the stuff you click on now, today.
Yeah.
It's about the TV shows that you watch and you say, well, it's not that bad. I mean, I know she's barely got any skirt on, but come on. Hello? You're creating more of an appetite. You're making yourself weaker. Come on. This is where the battle is, guys. This is where the battle is. Okay? So you can't give in to something small here without it increasing and increasing and going farther than you thought. Not only, guys, is it bitter, the bitter end that this guy experiences, but the last part of the sharp as a two-edged sword, there's a biting edge to it. Hey, guys, it says sharp as a two-edged sword. But hold on, I thought she was sweet. I thought she was smooth. No, it turns out to be sour and it turns out to be sharp. And why is this talking in this imagery of a two-edged sword? Guys, I think it's saying that this girl can destroy you from the inside out. Are you listening to that? She can destroy you from the inside out. And let me say this. When it's talking about this biting edge, it's penetrating, it's piercing, and it's painful. I think that this temptation dealing with a woman is even more dangerous than a lot of other temptations we talk about. They're all dangerous, we get that. But this one can be even more tricky because you let your guard down. I mean, obviously, it's some beautiful, attractive woman. You think, yeah, and you let your guard down. You think, no, my dreams have come true. This is what I've always wanted. And you know what you do? You let her farther and farther and farther into your life and into your heart. So guys, when her true colors come out and you see what she actually is, that sword is gonna rip and ruin you all up in you from the inside out. Why? Because you allowed it to get deeper. But guys, I don't know about you, and let me just speak from a little more experience than some of you guys have, but you allow a woman that you're close to and obviously you have the deep relationship with, you allow her in more than anybody else in life. That's just how it is. That's supposed to be the closest relationship that you ever have, right? With your wife. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, can I tell you, if that's misused by that woman, she can hurt you very, very, very deeply. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, I've been hurt by friends. I've been hurt by family. I've had people do me wrong. But guys, in some cases, it doesn't even come close to how a woman can hurt you very deeply in your heart. Mm-hmm. I think that's why God used this imagery of a sword, a two-edged sword. So guys, what is that saying? It cuts on both sides.
Yeah.
It's not just, usually we have a blade now and it's flat at the top, Kevin, and then it has the sharp side. Mm-hmm. So there's only one cutting side. Guys, this cuts on both sides.
Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to remove that knife out of that person and it's gonna be cutting the whole time when it's trying to be removed on both sides?
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, she can cut you deep. That's what I'm trying to say. So why, again, am I teaching this? Because this is your life. You've got to be careful. So if she's all about flattery and it's fake and she don't even know you, but she talks about you're the greatest, don't believe it. Do not believe it. Guys, sometimes you got to be wise and think, why is she saying that? Where is she trying to lead to with this? Okay, you got to be wise. You got to be thinking. Okay, you can't just buy into, you're the greatest at this, or basketball, or preaching, or singing. Man, you did such a great job. Okay, all right, thank you. But guys, don't let that penetrate too much. Hey, you just remember, I've had people from time to time compliment me about certain things, and sometimes you feel like it's over the top. And I'm thinking, you know, I have to be realistic, guys, and say, you know what? This lady sees me a couple hours a week. And I'm not saying I'm some idiot behind the scenes. I try not to be. But I got to say, you know what? She sees me for a couple hours a week. I'm with myself all day, every day. And I realize that I'm not some Mr. Superhero. I'm far from it. I realize without God in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. I realize without him that I'm nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you got to be realistic.
Yeah.
You can't start believing your own press and people say, you're the greatest. And you're like, yeah, you know, I kind of am, aren't I? That's unwise. You gotta have a realistic mindset about these things. The reaping of anguish. So the beautiful entrance, the bitter end, and the biting edge. Those are some scary terminology and imagery that it brings up. But you know what? He's trying to emphasize the point. Listen, guys, you can go after something that looks so good, but Aiden, at the end, it can be so bad for you. Something that looks so appealing, but at the end, it's so revolting. And you think, oh my goodness, how did I fall for this? Because it looks so good at the beginning. Hey guys, we can't just be dumb about this. Listen, I get it. How does it usually start out? The process of having a relationship with a girl, right? What's the first step? Usually you see she's pretty. She's attractive. What does attractive mean? You want to get closer, right? You following me here, right? But guys, you can't just go after that. It can't be a pretty, listen, I'm almost done. I got to shut this down. But it can't just be a pretty girl walks by and you're, come on, bro, wake up. I get it. But she's pretty. I know. All right, slap out of it. You know, snap out of it. Wake up. We've gotta see if it's the real deal or if it's just the physical appearance.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, there's a lot of girls that just have the physical appearance that don't love God on the inside, and they'll do you more harm than they will good in your life. And there's some people that can put on a show, a Christian show, and fake you out and act like the greatest Christian for a short time, and then you keep watching them for a longer time, and you're like, good grief. Because they were trying to fake everybody out. Can I tell you, they can fake us out, but they can't fake God out. And one of my favorite phrases is, time will tell. Don't get in a rush with things. Dude, I better do this now. You know, it's like you're, what is she, a car dealership? You know, the sale ends tomorrow. Like, come on, slow down. Ask God to show you. You can't get in a rush with this. Bro, man, you know, she's available. I'm going now. I'm going for it all out right now. Hey, you make sure that God has given you the go-ahead, the direction, first of all, before you jump into something, and then you get in the middle of it and think, oops. Maybe I should have looked at the fine print. Well, duh. You know, we've got to pay attention. We've got to pay attention, guys. It's that big a deal. The romantic appeal and the reaping of anguish, it comes out the exact opposite. Let me give you two more so I can at least finish off one point out of this whole thing. All right. Verse number 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. What I call that is the real attachment. the real attachment. Guys, can I just be real with you? A woman that takes you away from God, a woman that starts out looking so sweet and appealing, but actually she destroys your life and cuts you apart from the inside out. Can I tell you something, guys? That woman is being used of the devil. That's what verse 5 is saying, the real attachment. Who does she work for? The devil. Where does she come from? Hell. You say, bro, that's blunt. Yeah, you better believe it. He says her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. That's where she's coming from, and probably that's where she's going to. You don't want to be attached to someone like that. She's working for the devil. Guys, I don't want to hear this stuff. Listen. But she comes to church, Brother Stout. I have had these conversations with guys, and I want to slap them. She comes to church. And I think, so? Listen, a girl can come to church, and that's important. We know that. But a girl can come to church every service. But guys, when you and her are by yourselves, if she's always trying to do this, I'm sorry, she's being used of the devil. No, Brother Tom. God's will, that ain't God's will. God's will ain't going to be trying to mess you up when you guys are in private, which I don't suggest you do. You need to keep yourself out in the open. But guys, that's not God's will. No, Brother Tom, you're just old-fashioned. No, I just believe the Bible. That if she's trying to do that kind of stuff with you now, guys, she is not coming from the Lord. She's not coming from heaven. She's coming from the other place. Let's be real about it. You say, does the devil have girls that he uses? Yeah, a whole bunch of them. And by the way, he's got some guys that he uses too. So let's be real about it. I'm not trying to throw and say all these evil girls out here. There's some evil guys too. But someone like that, guys, when you start to notice these signs, and let me just hurry to the next verse because it'll all come together anyway. Verse 6, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. One last thing I want to give you guys. The reed is ambiguous. The reed is ambiguous. Ambiguous means unclear. You're not sure. Catch this, guys. It says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. So you're trying to get a read on this young lady and say, what is she all about? What does she really care about? What are her priorities? Does she really love God? What does she want in life? You're trying to ponder the path of life. What does it say? Her ways are what? You see verse 6? Movable. That thou canst not know them. You know what I think that's talking about? Listen up to this, guys. You're trying to get a read on her, but it's ambiguous. You know what it means? Ethan, I see her sometimes, and she looks like the greatest Christian in this whole place. Then Kevin, I see her in other settings, and I think, man, she's a really good girl. She's a really good Christian. And then I see her maybe in her neighborhood or with some other friends, and I see that girl that looked like such a great Christian. I'm thinking, why is she putting her hand on that boy? I mean, why is she dressed like that? I mean, in church, she would never dress like that. What's going on? Hey, guys, you know what it is? Her ways are movable. You look at her on this day, she looks like the greatest Christian you've ever seen. You look at her on a different scenario, and you're confused. What does the verse say? That thou canst not know them. And you're thinking, what is she all about? Guys, can I tell you, if names and faces are coming to your mind right now and say, yeah, that reminds me of so-and-so. Can I tell you, that's a huge red flag that you need to avoid that person? Ethan, in church, she looks like she loves God. Online, it looks totally different. Yeah. I mean, why would you get up and sing in church, but then online you're posting a picture wearing what? That's what I'm talking about, guys. That's a huge red flag. Don't be fooled. Don't say, well, no, what she does in church? Hey, you're talking about the whole life. And by the way, if we're not good Christians outside of church, we're not good Christians.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? It's not that we put on a performance when we're here, and then we walk out like, enough of that. Let's go back to being real me. No. The real me needs to be living for God all the time. Her ways are movable. Hey, guys, do you know people their ways are movable? By the way, are you a young man that your ways are movable? Brother Tom's walking by.
Bless God. Amen. Good to see you.
As soon as he leaves, whoo. And you go back to your dirty jokes. You go back to your innuendos. You go back to discussing things that you have no business talking about. Not that I'm anything. I'm just saying, are your ways movable? And Aiden, you think, man, what is she all about? This is confusing. Hey, guys, the Bible tells the truth, doesn't it? It gets down to it. It cuts it at its core. Hey, guys, you try to get a read on this person, but they're ambiguous. Can I tell you, don't get confused and don't say, well, maybe she's good and maybe she's bad. if you see some hypocrisy, if you see some fakeness, if you see her putting on the mask at church and taking it off outside of church, get out of there.
Right.
Get out of there. That's a red flag. Leave. Don't pursue somebody like that. Ethan, I see her around these people, man, she acts this way. Then I see her around these people, and man, it's a totally different person. Whoa, buddy. Whoa. Get out of there. You don't want to follow something like that. All right? Purity Education 101, the real story. We at least finished that one, all right? We'll move on and get to more of it next week.